Cause a simple man, baby, pays the thrills, the bills, the pills that kill. Oh, but
ain't that America?
For you and me.
Ain't that America?
Something to see, baby.
Ain't that America? Home of the free,
yeah. Little pink houses for you and me.
Out on the edge of town, sir, rising above factories and the fields, where ever since I was a child I can remember, yeah, the mansion on the hill. In the day you can see the children play on the road that leads to those gates of hardened steel. Steel gates that completely surround the sun. Mansion on
the... Good morning.
Good morning, my friend. How you doing there, buddy?
I am okay. Hold on one second.
Okay. Two seconds, 3 seconds.
Three, two, one. And you are on the air. Caller, are you there, caller? Good morning,
yeah,
caller.
Yeah, yeah,
hello there.
Yeah.
Hi, John. It's right. Mike. First time, long time. And,
Mike, it's wonderful to have you on. You're our first caller this morning. And what was your
I breakfast? I thought I might be. I wasn't sure. I was pretty sure, but I didn't know for sure. So thanks for that, John. I'm a little nervous because I don't like talking on the radio.
What was you like for breakfast?
Well, I understand that you guys make a pretty mean moose turd pie.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Would you like a slice? It's all primped up here.
Oh, gosh. Set me up, buddy. Set me up. That
okay.
Would be awesome.
All right, man. Now, you know, when you take your first bite, I got to let you know that another terrible thing has happened. I just want you to chew on it a little bit, okay?
Okay.
It turns out that Mitch McConnell and Trump are actually friends. And that's actually not good, is it? I mean, that's like, you know, you had a Oreo that was a black cookie with a white inside, and then you had Trump, which is like a white cookie with a black inside, and now you got an all-white cookie.
Terrible. Terrible. That's awful.
And so
I can't even begin to imagine the awfulness of that, John. I'm gonna go ahead and put a more professional, qualified person to discuss this on the air.
Oh, thank you. Okay, well, thanks for it. You're a great caller, and call back, will you? Okay, Mikey, whatever your name
okay,
is.
Okay, thanks, John. Have a great show.
All right, you know, kiss your mother for me.
I don't understand.
Oh, Senator McConnell. Yes, I understand that you've...
I'm Mr. Cash, I'm a little confused about your... behavior with regard to the obstructionist Democrats who constantly turn completely unpatriotic. The president and I have discussed this.
Then you found out that his how big is his penis, for example.
I'm going to go ahead and hang up now. Goodbye. Wow. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for the visit.
This is the actual mic, and
those were two.
Mike on the mic, everybody. Good morning. Yesterday I kept saying it was the 14th. It was actually the 16th. This morning it's the 17th, and we're coming up just past the bottom of the hour, 6:30 a.m. here at the Moose Turd Cafe with your original dusty Buddha philosopher knows, Mr. John Case, and his sometimes sidekick who can appear as several different people all at one time, Mr. Mike Easley.
Yes, right, man, Mike. And I want to thank you for your channeling, some important personalities of our time. And they appear to want to, inhabit you, kind of like parasites of some sort. But hey, Mike, you have a tick on your head. No, that's Senator McConnell.
Ooh, Mr. Case laying down the thunder. Bringing the thunder.
Anyway.
The lightning and the thunder. Lightning and the thunder.
It keeps. I'm glad we have this moment at breakfast here to get it out here because otherwise we'd probably say nasty things to our spouse and stuff like that.
This type of behavior has a tendency to make people fester. The one thing I've said over and over again, psychologically speaking, is, John, you and I both know life is hard enough. Okay, life is difficult enough. There seems to be an inordinate amount of stress in our society.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's coming from somewhere.
Hey, I heard it.
Can't quite put my finger on it.
Oh, yes, we can. but by the way, just along those lines, I heard a interesting report on, it was on NPR, I think. It had to do with statistics about, we read all the time, England has, a lot of countries have very strong firearms laws and they don't have any murders or they're very few. Okay. And,
hold on, man. They won't talking about taking the gun away if I tell you what.
Right. But it turns out that there are countries, that have, very liberal gun laws. But that also don't have anywhere near the murders that we got here. I hadn't thought about it from that point of view.
I do because that's a folks take their training with regards to those weapons very seriously. That you may have liberal gun laws, and you may be able to purchase weapons, and that's fine.
Well, that's one.
But you also have an astronomical amount of people that are incredibly well trained.
Well, like for Canada, for example,
you have as a gun owner, you have a responsibility.
I mean, Canada has liberal gun laws, but they have about a third the rate of murders that we have, or maybe a little less, actually. And there are some other countries that also have, it's weird. The argument the guy was making is it's not just the guns, he says. Obviously the guns are a big thing. That was his kind of analysis, was that the guns are big, but there's other things going on that are causing people to kill each other, too. That's an interesting, I kept thinking about it. Well, geez, get rid of the guns and, it's no more sophisticated than Jimmy Stewart whatever that famous thing is, Destry Rides Again.
Right.
Where they come to the conclusion that there's not going to be any guns in town.
Right. Just
take them home.
We're going to go on a volunteer basis. As you come to town, we have a lockbox for you.
Yeah.
Specifically for you.
Yeah.
And when you are done with your business
head
in town,
yeah,
we're asking that you please... On your way out, you can pick up your weapons.
I mean, that was Marshall Dillon's rule, too.
It's not that big of a deal. It's, you know,
yeah,
it's
come
not.
On. I mean, unless you're planning
also,
on...
I think there might be almost, to a certain extent, a incredibly defensive posture, a knee-jerk defensive posture to anybody that owns a weapon. You know, they feel as if they're you know, you're threatening their ability to protect themselves, which is just silly. You know, I happen to find that incredibly.
Well,
I think it manifests itself in a lot of ways, because a lot of times you have news broadcasts that are incredibly production value is amazing, but they use, you know, as often we see, skewed statistics to scare the shit out of everyone.
Yeah.
And when you have a frightened person, that's dangerous enough, but then you have a frightened person that has access to a weapon.
Well, right.
So, yeah, I mean, I can see why those things happen. It's not, you know, certainly not good. It's not good for the country. It's not good for people. I mean, one of my relatives just posted a thing online about a gentleman who, an African-American young man who had two children that went into a Walmart, picked up a pellet gun, and people felt threatened, so the cops came in and shot him and killed him. You know?
Well, he's black. Okay.
Right.
It's okay.
You know, there is a sad...
See, a black man with a weapon. Gee, what can... He must be intending to shoot...
Right.
Well, let me ask you this question then, okay?
It reinforces so many bad things.
Okay, so what about, suppose you got, as we know, this is not uncommon, people raised in families in which there's been considerable violence, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
and then you get, you know, yeah, you could see, you could, couldn't you see where you could get, like, you know, two different people coming out of that same that kind of environment could go into this extreme disarmament position, and the other could arm himself to the teeth. Okay, I'm never going to put up with that again. You know, you see how, you know, you could.
Well,
maybe the violence in families.
That's a really fascinating behavioral study, I think. Not that I would be capable of it, but it would be interesting to see the statistics in terms of that type of...
whether it encouraged the gun attitude or not, or...
Right.
I could see how it could work both ways.
Yeah, did this shape your overall opinion of, you know, what...
Right.
What you have to do with guns and how you feel about them.
And I think when you see, you know, the mass murder, the mass shootings thing, I mean, it scares people, all right? I mean, even though you can argue back and forth that it's a rare event, okay, which statistically, although it's not quite as rare as it was, geez, I look to see the numbers on that. I mean, it's like 200, 300, what is it, in a year? It's unbelievable.
Right. Yeah, that's completely... that the increase in that is one of the more frightening things I see. And it makes me sad because, you know, I had heard some conversation about the unfortunate execution style murders in Vegas, and I heard some folks saying, "Well, mightn't they use their guns?" Well, let's look at that for a second, okay? Let's just take a moment and take a deep breath and look at that, shall we? You say, why didn't they use their guns? Okay. Well, say they did, and the police officers that arrive on the scene immediately assume that you
are the shooter,
are the perpetrator. Yeah. You're the shooter. How could they tell?
No, they couldn't.
How would they know?
They wouldn't know.
Exactly. That's my point. They wouldn't know. They
actually
wouldn't know.
In a mass shooting,
all of a sudden, now the police officer is in trouble for gunning down someone who's trying to help.
Yeah, right. But you know,
unfortunately, that someone turned the gun in the wrong direction.
So actually, you know, having weapons in the midst of a mass shooting is actually a liability.
I think the more specific thing is having weapons in the wrong hands.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know how you.
How do you determine who's the wrong hands? Somebody that's not a police officer.
Okay, well there you go.
I mean that's how you determine.
Well, if you're in a civil community, that would be the argument, it seems to me. But
right. I mean, and that goes right back to the point. Exactly, that goes right back to the point you and I were making earlier.
Destry rides again, huh? There you go.
I think it's certainly time for a discussion. But see, that's the thing too, is there's never, not the right time.
Right, I know. Thank you.
Well, when exactly would you like to discuss it? About 4 or 5 mass shootings from now?
No, man.
Can we talk about it then?
No, it's not going
to
happen.
Is it possible to discuss it when we've mutilated an entire city? Would that be okay?
I think we're headed toward, I think democracy is fading fast, my friend.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you, I can tell you right now, when the dictatorship, you know, gets fully blossomed here, they'll start disarming. They will. First, they'll disarm all the black people. That's what's being built up here. I mean, whether they can get there or not, I don't know. I personally think that Trump has to have a war pretty soon,
and you keep saying that, and I don't.
His numbers will go down.
I don't disagree with you because of what. One of the things I kind of honed in on was what Tillerson just said recently.
Oh, yeah, right.
That we will continue negotiations until the first bombs drop. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Where exactly?
Is that on a timetable, or is that...
A big, if you're interviewing someone like that, isn't that a big... Excuse me? Shouldn't you, as a reporter, go, excuse me?
Yeah, really, the normal way, as negotiations are continuing, you don't mention that. I mean, obviously, when the bombs drop, okay? I mean, everyone knows that, okay, dummy. I mean, but why would you mention it now, okay? Because you're joining Trump and his,
it's like him not mentioning the fact that he, you know, called the president a moron. He's not pushing back against it. I will not dignify that with a lamp response. Did you say it? I don't need to talk about that with you. I'm not.
I think we ought to invite.
Well, did you actually say it, sir? Mm-hmm. I don't talk about that.
You know, I think we could serve up here a crankcase omelet, no pun intended there. To Rex, if he wanted to join us here in the Moose Turd Cafe, but how you like some of that old oil there, kid?
I think he will. I just don't think he's ready just yet.
Okay.
He, I think, is one that has to marinate a little bit.
Okay. He needs to probably make some more public statements, you know, that...
Right. It's not completely... It's there, but there's a very distinguishing difference between, for example, if you heard Richard Painter...
Right.
And Mitch McConnell on the same panel, there would be some vernacular similarities.
Right. You might, if it was radio, you might confuse them, you mean, for example?
Right, yeah, exactly. Okay. You want to have a very, very distinct... Richard Painter is a guy that bites his words.
Yeah.
I mean, Richard Painter talk like this.
very pathetic. The Republican Party continues to go down this path. There's a path of unforgiving, relentless ridiculousness. This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. As a proud Christian and a proud Republican, I'm embarrassed by the behavior of this party. Okay? Yeah, there's okay. that. Okay?
Yeah.
But then there's...
I would say
the president and I get along just fine. I think there's some certainly some we certainly have the same agenda.
Yes, so, you certainly do.
You see the subtlety of it?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Well, Rex is going to fall, but Rex is also got that Texas drawl, so I don't know.
There's
let him marinate, man. I mean, Rex may exit the stage here before we're,
I don't think there's any issue here. I think you're making this an issue, Mr. Case.
Oh, okay.
And I'm offended that you would make this an issue. As a Texan, there's a certain way that we do business, and this is all the people in Washington.
Right. The end of a short rope, pal.
Wanting to get a story that does not exist.
So, yeah.
I defy you to find that story. I am offended.
Good. That's one of my purposes in life is to offend the CEO of Exxon.
Yes. That's what every time a Trump administration official is offended, an angel gets its wings.
Yes, that's right. I know. Right. Good. I'm glad that you are offended. Okay.
Yes, I am.
Here, have another bite. Have another bite of moose turd pie.
My job is done here. You are offended, sir. I couldn't be happier.
Have another plate of moose turd pie here,
that's delicious moose turd.
I know. Boy, it's getting better. Every news story we do, I want to tell you, it's just going to taste better and better and better.
Oh, my goodness. The yummy on that. The yummy factor.
Guess what the biggest employer in Trump country?
I don't think you're finalizing the preparations.
Oh, Dr. Lecter. Do you have a suggestion?
I would add some cumin.
Of course, covers up the blood.
Wow,
salts the blood.
Well, he's up and about today.
I know. Oh man. Hey, so deep in Trump country, guess what the biggest employer is, industry wise?
Walmart.
No, healthcare.
Ah, there we go.
There we go.
Not for much longer, though.
Not for much longer. Yeah.
This is nuts. We're all going to die. This is crazy. It's going to kill everyone.
You're gonna try our cancerous rat bacon pretty soon here, man. What's going to happen?
gosh. Was that boiled with fracking fluid? That's yummy.
It's a little sparkle in there when the chemicals, set off. But
Wow. Boing. Hey, Bob, your ear is glowing. I know. Isn't it great?
Senator Corker just left the cafe saying, this place is a sewer.
I'm out of here. I don't need this. Are you actually thinking of primarying the president? See ya.
Yes, sir, yeah. Want some more coffee? No, thanks.
that was my fill. So,
yes.
Nothing to see here. Moving along. Everything's just fine. the whole world is falling apart.
The Iraqi forces have seized Kirkuk.
Okay. I know.
Now,
the American-backed Iraqi forces.
Right. Now, so that then the question comes: can they hold it even for 5 days?
Well, I don't know if you've seen the city.
What's left of it?
But it's not a pleasant city to look at.
Here it is. He's got. Maybe that's what he'll do. Maybe he's going to suck us back into Iraq.
Well, I don't know if that's the grand plan, but I can say this.
if you're thinking of attempting ground troops in Iran, think about that a lot, because your Iran is not Iraq. They are very well organized, they are very well funded, they are very disciplined, and we are spread way too thin right now.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
you had four Green Berets die in Niger, and you had a president who didn't acknowledge it for a week or two, and Mattis told him what the operation was and what happened when it happened, and already given his press conference, and the orange shit stain who can't think past his own stupid drug-addicted brain fart can't come up with, I'm terribly sorry, can't call the families. And then he blames Obama.
Yeah, Obama never visited it's lies. He just lies. He just lies.
People say, this is what I heard. I heard this on, Sean Hannity told me as we were spooning last night.
Yeah. You know, I don't think he can. I think it has to do, in a way, like, for example, he obviously could care less about Africa. There's a bunch of black people. And this guy's a racist, okay? This guy is a racist.
There is absolutely no doubt that the current president of the United States is an incredible racist.
He's a billionaire racist. He's got, you know, and he's straight out. And he doesn't hide it, really. So he doesn't care who gets killed in Africa. His probably big thing is, why were they in Africa? Who cares?
I don't understand why these people would be there.
I don't think we're speaking too far from the narrative here.
Cars and boats and trains. You can leave.
Yeah.
Lots of my friends are investing.
Right.
What?
And this thing he's doing with Iran, you know, I mean, this is like, you know, he thinks it's like a corporate deal. Oh, well, I want to buy you. Well, I don't like the price. Well, I'm pulling out. Well, no, I will raise the price. You know, he thinks it's like that. It's not.
No, you know,
people
not at all.
People don't pull. They don't pull their wallets. They pull their swords, man. That's what happens. So whatever.
The toddler, the orange toddler in chief.
I saw that great cartoon of I think it was an Australian thing. I think I posted it on Facebook where they had the gathering.
Oh yeah, the high chair. I saw that.
With the high chair for the United States.
Oh and, God, yeah. Don, if you hear some noise in the background, it's just I'm going downstairs now.
I didn't know you had it downstairs. This is not Dr. Lecter's cavern down there, is it?
No. I'm walking down the steps.
Oh my God! I thought maybe
I have to go into the dungeon and check on Marcus, my dragon, because he's been a bit temperamental lately, and I'm a little concerned that he's actually going to go ahead and just take matters into his own fire-breathing mouth.
Ooh!
So. Oh. Yeah, that's not going to be good for anybody. Nobody likes that.
No.
Nobody likes a drunken dragon with an attitude.
Yeah, right. That's be like smog, right? That's what caused.
Well, he's not. I can't see. He hates that. Don't say that around him. That's awful racist, man. That's not something you want to say around him. You want to offend him. Just go ahead and start talking about Smaug and
So let's get back to what the real. I don't mean to interrupt you about Smaug. That's not your dragon's name, is it? By the way.
No,
Marcus.
Marcus.
I'm sorry.
I told you that already. His name is Marcus.
He's Marcus.
And
he doesn't like the name Smaug.
Very docile, and he loves baseball.
Oh, well, you got a buddy there. But yeah. I wanted to point out one little thing we neglected about the McConnell-Trump gathering, why they are uniting, and it has to do with the number one priority of all of the donors to the Republican
Party. Tax cuts.
Tax cuts.
Oh, cut them taxes. No one in the world can convince me that any prolonged, sustained growth or jobs or effective production in the United States has ever been maintained by tax cuts, ever.
True.
Well, I mean, it's a... that's not entirely true. All right. If you're in a growth period, okay, in other words, if you're actually already growing, then if you cut taxes, it doesn't reduce the income for the government, okay? And it can be a further incentive to growth then. But, you know, but that's the whole point, right? When you're growing... It doesn't matter.
When you already have mass manipulation of the tax structure by huge international, multinational, and domestic corporations that are constantly skewing the system and pushing loopholes all the time and bullshitting and lying and constantly not paying, what are you really getting? And not really actually being penalized. You know, it's kind of like this idiot that took the teeth out of the DEA against the drug companies. You know, this guy that's been, you know, nominated as the drug czar, which, you know, they have already said,
oh, you have to look at this. I wasn't aware of it.
You know, they pull the teeth out of everything. You can only sue for a percentage of whatever that particular investment was at the time, not the total sum total of exactly what the shitbag did in terms of investing in a foreign, you know, adversary or blah blah blah. And so it's pennies on the dollar, and you and me and all the rest of American citizens who are paying into this tax shithole get screwed again and again.
Yeah, no, I hear you, buddy.
So, hey, happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to the Booster Cafe and happy Tuesday, everybody.
So, I mean, the big donors, though, I mean, they wanted, that's why they wanted to kill Obamacare, because they wanted a $700 billion tax cut.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they want now. If they don't get either one. And neither of them, by the way, have a popular, you know, a majority of the people believe that the Republican tax proposals favor the rich. 65%, something like that.
Yeah, actually, that's going to continue to go up. And in some reports I saw, statistically, was in the 70s.
But, you know, somehow we, you know, somehow this business of the... It gets lost in these presidential and even some of the congressional elections. You know, there's something that the liberal side is not doing. And I keep listening
to Enlightened Radio.
I go back to
available on the internet.
Something came in and started playing. You know, while you were talking, and we're good. Now. Go ahead.
I mentioned music in a song place.
Yeah, I know. That's right. So
behold the power of the voice of Mike Diesel.
Back to...
No, there's something wrong with the world today. There's something wrong with our eyes.
I don't know.
That's the line in the song. You know, and then he goes, we're living on the edge! You know, kind of thing. And we are.
We're on
the edge, my friend.
By the way, after the California fires, turns out the cleanup is going to be a big challenge as well.
Yeah, and they started right when the winds died down. There was some reports coming out this morning that they were able to get some of the larger amounts of fire under control through the sweat and labor and hard work of a lot of superheroes.
Yeah, absolutely, my friend. Absolutely.
You know, they had been working the hours for, you know, 15, 16, sometimes 20 hours, no sleep, you know, constantly in harm's way, putting themselves in harm's way to save others, just trying to coordinate that effort. I can't even imagine. Without any real, you know, come together national support, because, you know, well, it's California, so they didn't vote for me.
Yeah, right. Why should I help him out? So, he's going to do that. And he's not going to be bashful. He's going to treat California the same as black people.
Yeah, well.
I know. I think it's, here's the thing. I mean, I cannot believe that amongst a lot of powerful people and governors and certainly Governor Brown, I mean, there has to be just, you know, how do we stop this? Is there any way to stop this? And, you know, how do we, you know, well, what's the right thing to do in some ways when, you know, you got this... Here's another question. Suppose in 2018, you know, the politics turns around and we would take either the Senate or the House, okay, the Democrats do.
Or both.
I think
despite the gerrymandering, I don't know why I believe this, but I think swing back is a bitch.
Well, that would be the normal thing. Well, I mean, but suppose it happens, okay? But you got this fascist, you know, thing that's still the president of the United States that's running everything, and you got this big, and they have a movement behind them to a certain extent, okay? Of a crazy fascist, okay? So how do you govern in that kind of environment? I mean, seriously, what do you do? I mean, do you say, oh, well, okay, we won now, so you guys can go back to, raising hell and shooting people. I don't know.
What do we do? There's going to be some contested elections. There's going to be some, you know, a lot of... continued heightened rhetoric that's going to get people stirred up, and there will be violence and people will die. But I do believe to a certain extent, let's think about this for a second. How far removed are we from the incident in Las Vegas? When you start inflaming that attitude, that's what happens. And you have to be very, very careful. But I do think people like Bernie, people who do believe in social safety nets, who believe that, you know, rich people should pay their fair share. The bottom line is you need to start talking more about the fact that how did you get rich? How did that happen? Well, if you own a company or were given, you know, more than most ever could imagine starting with, and you invested it in things, you still had to use our highways. You know, you still had to use our airports.
And you still had
to
use...
We're all paying for that.
Well, you had to use human workers, too. I'm sorry.
You had to use... you have to employ labor.
And they have to do the job for you.
I was getting to that. You have to pay people to do the job. You have to try to pay them a living wage. You have to attempt to do the responsible thing. And I know there are people out there who are doing that. There are wealthy people out there who are doing that who are horrified.
Well,
with the prospect of you know, in many cases, in certain cases, losing employees.
For sure.
That are quality people.
Well, okay, but I don't think that's.
I don't want to get in the muck and the mire, but I would say you need to get in the muck and the mire. You know, you have to break down the other side and make sure over and over again, okay, you understand what's going to happen. And I think that's part of the failure of the Democratic Party. If this, then that.
Well,
so you have to start asking yourself right now, what about us?
Okay, so let me ask this question then. Okay, so I mean, to do, let's say, you know, Bernie or even three quarters of whatever, half of Bernie's program, okay, that's going to require not tax cuts for the rich and not even staying where you are, but tax increases on the rich.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and a redistribution of wealth, basically, however the mechanism is.
Can I stop you right there? Let me stop you right there. You just said something that has been used by the right, you know, whether they're paid for lobbying economists that happen to find themselves with a paycheck from the extraction business or anywhere else of big moneyed interests. You just said something that you said redistribution of wealth.
Right.
Okay. It's a redistribution of wealth when the rich have to do the responsible thing and pay for infrastructure, pay for an increase in wages, pay for the social safety net, so on and so forth. But that's a tax burden. And the point I'm getting is the way they frame the argument.
Yeah.
When it's all of that stuff, it's redistribution of my wealth.
Correct.
You know what I mean? It becomes almost a self. That's my money. You can't have that. Again, I go right back to the argument. How'd you make it?
Well, I think that's an important argument.
You had a lot of help making that money.
I mean, I have a simpler argument, actually, than that, because you can talk about that. That ends up being a little more philosophical. I'm saying, you know, the guy says, well, you know, the Republic, you want to redistribute my earnings. I said, you didn't earn it. You stole a good part of it.
Yeah.
And I can prove it by just looking at the productivity statistics over the past 40 years and who got the produce, you know, the net
exactly.
out of it, okay? Which share went to which, okay? And
we're sitting here talking about this on the phone like this. I'm on the phone. We're broadcasting over the internet. And one of the things that keeps going through my head over and over again, I have to tell you, John, is the drug distribution companies. You can't even stop them. They bought a representative from Pennsylvania and from Georgia, and they created a law to say you can't penalize us for killing people.
Yeah, right. That's the opioid thing. Yeah. I see that Joe Manchin has, expressed his outrage on that one.
Yes, he did. I think he realizes that, you know, the numbers in the state are pretty bad, John.
Well, the numbers are shifting, too, on Trump in the state some, so he's opening up a little more. I noticed that Trump's numbers in West Virginia are falling. But I don't know. It's
Hold on a second.
Oh, Christ.
Go ahead and say whatever you want to say, Mr. K. I done did it.
God.
And I'm going to done do it again, buddy.
I think I'm going to throw up.
Hold on. I can't get up this one step here. Hold on.
I have a broomstick that might help you.
Tongue and broomstick. I don't know what the hell you.
Oh, Halloween, man! It's Halloween.
You gotta understand. I know what I'm doing because I done did it.
Oh, you know, done did.
Hold on, I'm.
Oh Christ! Can you just expire? Come on, man. This is painful every morning. I mean. Oh, Lord. It's going to take an act of Congress.
Hold on.
Maybe we better divert the road bond to being able to get the governor out of bed in the morning, you know.
I'm almost on the toilet. You let me.
Oh, George. Oh, not again. Oh, no. I mean, we got a governor that calls the radio when he's on the toilet. It's just unbelievable. How can we put up with this? Oh, God.
You know, I think he's gone, Tony.
Lord of mercy. They must have flushed. Jiminy Christmas. I hope that.
Wow.
Can you imagine the plumbing system?
Was talk about moose turds.
Yeah, man. Oh, my God.
Thank you. Good night, everybody. Thank you. Tip the wait staff. Thank you very much. As many as the audiences as I've performed in front of over the last 27 years, thank God you have been one of them. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, right. Anyway, it's just... It's killing us. It's the whole thing is killing us. You know, the diet. We're on a diet of the bullet diet, man. Every day, get gut shot.
I was wondering what that crunchy stuff was.
Yeah,
in my liver.
That's right. Yeah, right.
You know, it.
You can't shoot this moose.
It sunk in the milk.
Yes.
Something has sunk it in the milk.
Well, that's a little about the size of a weird looking blackberry there.
What the hell? Where?
It's turd soup.
Hey, everybody, this show is coming off the rails.
As usual.
I hope you enjoyed it.
As usual. As usual. It's a heady thing. I mean, to be able to confront each day here toilet land, whatever.
I wanted to also, if you don't mind, congratulate some of our much more successful folks in the media business, and one of my superheroes, Stephanie Miller and Frangela and John Fugelsang, for their continuing their successful sexy liberal comedy tour, which was in Chicago and sold out.
Really? Wow!
Yep, they just performed Saturday night in Chicago and it was sold the F out, and I say congratulations to them. And I would say that I saw Steve Bannon on television. I was thinking, I think the line from John Fugelsang, he said, Steve Bannon is a guy who looks like gout had herpes.
Ooh. Gout had herpes.
Yeah.
I think that was
I'm paraphrasing. I think that's the line. I don't know, but you know, John is a really, really smart, funny stand-up. He's brilliant. He has such great stuff.
All
and
right.
Stephanie is just, people don't realize that the woman is a physical dynamo. You know.
Now, what do you mean by that?
She just goes up. She's a very physical comic. She performs, like, she comes out into the crowd and jumps around and jumps on people and does all these flops on the stage, and it's like, stop it, you're going to hurt yourself. You know, one time she actually did. She went into the orchestra pit, and they had to take her to the hospital.
Oh, Lord, she probably stepped on something.
Yeah, she stepped wrong, and it was, she went down into the orchestra. But I don't want to, you know, also, too, my heroes are Francis Collier and Angelique Shelton of the Detroit Sheltons. She wants to make sure you say that. Who I saw here at Shepherd. I got a chance to see them do their show at Shepherd, but I also, as part of the Sexy Liberal Tour, got a chance to see them do that as well. And they're killing it, man.
Wow.
Yep. Oh. Yep.
All right, so that's the entertainment. What's happening in sports?
I wish you wouldn't have brought that up once again. The Washington Nationals broke everyone's heart once again.
They did. I know.
The team, both in Montreal and Washington, every single year have not made it out of the first round of the playoffs. Every year. Five-game series, three-game series, it doesn't matter.
Right.
They are destined to play one series, lose it, and go home. They had although in the fifth game, which, you know, they forced a fifth game, which was impressive because they won in the wind and rain in Chicago when everybody was picking the Cubs to go ahead and win that series. But they had to come back here and play, and Gio Gonzalez did not pitch well at all. They pulled him halfway through the third inning. They tried to put Max Scherzer in to shut down, come out of the bullpen and shut down the Cubs, and that backfired big time. The Cubs pounded Max. They scored four runs off of him.
Wow, that's right.
It didn't go well. I mean, they were still in the game all the way to the last at bat. They lost 9-8.
I know, yeah.
But there was some really, really, again, in the fifth game, there was some very controversial calls, which I thought were horrible.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard because I don't want to – I've never been an advocate for the digital strike zone until this year.
But now you are.
Yeah. Big time. I think there should be something in the umpire's mask that allows him to project per each batter what the strike zone should be. He should be looking at that mask and looking at it live. There should be some kind of input on his screen, on his mask. And he should be able to, as a guide, here's the strike zone, pal. Okay? Here's the corners. Here's the middle. This is the strike zone. This is what you call. And it'll help you call balls and strikes.
Right. Right.
And that data is digitally fed constantly on a loop. Certainly, it would probably be expensive. But if you watch any game today, the broadcasters certainly have a digital strike zone superimposed on the screen that you can see.
Mm-hmm. They do.
So why couldn't you project that same screen, a mini screen, onto, you know, and the umpire can turn it on and turn it off?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a...
The flip down thing that you can read, and, you know, it's a digital readout.
Has someone tried it, actually? Have they experimented with it?
I think they're going to. I don't think they've tried it yet, but I think in the off season it's the next step.
Right, to just experiment and see how it would actually work, you know.
Right. I mean, you have to play around with it, and it has to get better.
Yeah.
Have to become, you know, effective. But, you know, I mean, I think there's a responsibility to get the calls right. You know, unfortunately, as sad as it was, Jason Worth did not play well.
Yeah.
You know, it was his last game as a National. I love Jason Worth. I love what he's meant to the team. He's meant a great deal. I have all the admiration and respect in the world for him, and I'm certain no one feels worse about blowing that catch and letting the Cubs score two runs
than him.
Than he does.
Yeah.
You know, he probably will continue to feel bad about that. He's a good guy, and he played well for 7 years. You know, a lot of people the first 2 years were just like, oh, this guy's terrible, blah, blah, blah. And then he really started to just take off.
Right.
About the second year, you know, he was in a Nats uniform. Because, you know, look, he was in the World Series, won a World Series with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yep. I know.
And so, you know, so sports-wise, and I don't want to, you know, give any airtime to the team that tries to play professional football in Washington. I don't want to do that.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with the Capitals because I haven't been paying attention. I do know that they have not played well in the beginning of the year here. So you've got the Capitals season starting. You've got the Wizards season.
What about the Ravens? Can we support the Ravens?
No, they've played horribly. I think the Ravens might just be 1-4 or 2-3.
Whoa,
something like that. They're not a good team. They're just not playing well. The biggest news over the weekend in football, in professional football, was Aaron Rodgers broke his other collarbone.
So that's the
perennial all-pro superstar quarterback for the Green Bay Packers will not be playing anymore this year.
Wow.
He's out for the year.
Well,
so
you know, these injuries...
It changes the dynamic in the central division of the NFC. It's certainly... You don't have... Hundley, the kid who backs up Aaron Rodgers, is from UCLA. He's a big kid. He throws the ball well, but he doesn't have the instincts of an Aaron Rodgers. Like, for instance, Aaron Rodgers has got the best, what's called a hard count.
What's that mean?
He constantly gets the defense to jump off sides. And then when they jump off sides and stop, you are allowed to keep playing as an offense. So he will. Tom Brady does the same thing in New England. He gets you to come off sides. Instead of continuing to play through the penalty, you just kind of stop. The defense stands around. Then wide receivers just run right by you, and Aaron Rodgers throws it down the field for a touchdown. Like, you shouldn't have stopped, dummy.
yeah. It's interesting.
So there's your entertainment and sports reporting for now.
All right,
really,
man.
Not much. Yeah,
all right.
We're up to date, and I think we're up to date in the world of sports as we. we know it.
Well, okay. Well, that thing, I think that's good. And well, I can't think of any. The rest of the day is I don't know what's coming up today. More bad, more stuff.
I am probably gonna more than likely as soon as we get done here, John. I'm headed over to check in on the shelter.
Oh, okay.
If there's anything I could help do.
Well, look, you know the names of the animals that you relate to over there. And their, you know, various personalities. You might note down and introduce our listeners at the cafe to some interesting fellas.
I thought about Sparky. I think would talk like a Scotsman. You human, clean my box, you fool, and then get out.
Yeah.
All right, you can pet me once, maybe twice, and then get out.
Scotty. My dad had a Scotty.
What, Sparky.
Oh, Sparky?
I didn't give myself that name.
Sparky.
Some idiot human gave me the name Sparky. What a stupid freaking name that is.
That's better than Spot.
Shut up, Mr. Case. I'll come over there and claw your face off.
Right, right. Okay, Spot. I'll give it a black spot.
They do have personalities.
They do. I know. Wicked.
And then there's there's a cute twins, these gray little kittens. They're not quite cats yet. They're kittens, and one of them looks like he has a mustache. And he just he really, really looks like he got into the uppers. He really just is just constant. Okay, oh boy, I'm over here. Look at me, I'm over here. Look at that. I'm over here. A string. Wait. Another cat. Get out of my way.
Hey, by the way, I was going to mention, when Hillary finally made a statement, I thought she did pretty good, all right? Because she talked not about the perversity of Weinstein, but she said, but look, there's another one that's the president of the United States who's just as bad, you know, I mean.
Right. And she should have said that.
I thought that was good. Yeah, so
it was very good. And the other thing is now she's being beat up because Weinstein gave to the Clinton Foundation, and the reality is that money's already been spent to try and help people.
Yeah. Okay.
You
so,
know, they're beating her.
They can beat up on her if they want to. I thought she did the right thing on that. So
they're so stupid.
And then now the other thing that's about the Weinstein thing or the outgrowth of it is this, the Me Too campaign that I see on Facebook is getting big, but I think it's getting big a lot. And that's an interesting phenomenon, actually, you know.
Not only that, but you also have to say that he was voted out of the Motion Picture Academy.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
And deservedly so, because he's pond scum. He's not even human.
It's really
some of the crap this guy's pulled over the years. The reality is he should be in jail.
He should
be in prison, and so should so should the current president.
Yeah.
I just can't, John.
No, you can't.
And I understand, you know, I think we talked about this when I, you know, mentioned this to my wife. I was like, seems to be ratcheted up. And she's like, nope, this has been going on forever. You know, this kind of behavior needs to stop. It's more than about, to me, the way I have learned through therapy, has someone who has experienced that firsthand, and a lot of therapy later, it's about dominance. It's about, you know, I mean, it's predatory behavior, but predatory behavior equates to, I have to dominate you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I have no other choice. This is who I am. And that's a real sociopathic behavior.
Well, I mean, I think it shows up that way. I mean, I think especially in employers, you know, who have a certain amount of power over other people, and then they exploit that power.
Right.
You know, for a
Yeah, that that is just,
you know,
that continues
perverse
to be
purpose, you know.
That continues to be opportunistic predatory behavior.
You know,
they know that, oh, if you don't do this, then I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to cost you, and you better just shut up and take it, and blah, 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 and I'll show you. And I'm just like,
yeah, I know, right. I mean, that
the quality of a human being is too important. The quality of growth of a human being is too important.
But, so anyway, whether they be
male, female, or transgender, there's no justification for that type of behavior. It's awful.
I saw one of the Republican congressmen. I think it was, I can't remember which southern state they're from. One of the southern states, you know, say, if women are going to be in the workforce, they're just going to have to put up with harassment. If you want a job, you're going to have to sleep with me. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the way it is. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Wow. How about the fact that somebody's very good at their job or very experienced in the
no,
job?
No. You have to, no. You know, you have to let me, you know, grope you and grab your pussy or whatever, you know, that kind of thing.
I can't believe you said that on the air, John.
Well, I mean, that's...
Yeah, they just let you do it. When you're famous, they just let you do it.
I know. Well, it's just locker room talk. Yeah, right, sure. Yeah.
Oh, no, these women all lied. I'm going to sue them all. Hey, where are the lawsuits? I don't know.
That's the locker room talk right there, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I'm president of the United States. No, that's locker room talk. I'm going to withdraw from the climate change. So that's locker room talk.
That's locker room talk.
Yeah.
Oh, he's new at this. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you one thing he's not new at is providing testimony. That's what I can tell you.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Not new at that. So good luck.
I know.
By the way, Mr. President, Mother is coming.
Ooh, Kim. Return of Kim. Well, Kim, we got about a minute or two left here on the Moose Turd Cafe before we have to, you know.
Hey, everybody, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour at 7:30. We appreciate you listening. If you'll just take us and listen. Hey, listen, all we're saying is, if you eat a Moose Turd for breakfast, how bad can it be the rest of the day?
Exactly. Exactly. All right, buddy. So why don't we...
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, we'll bring it back to any day that Mike and I are up at the same time. We'll, you know... We'll try to serve you up some breakfast.
We don't really have a set schedule yet.
No, we're just taking it as it comes. All right, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thanks,
man. Yeah,
bye-bye.
Take care of each other. It's late, but everything comes next.